That's the bottom line. No foreign terrorist organization has successfully planned and executed an attack on our homeland.
Have you lost your mind?
Together.
Radio.
Underground. We have audio, no video.
Radio Free Vida.
This is a pirate transmission from District 13 with a message.
Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Sharpton says, thank God we lived in the Obama era. I say, thank God it's over, and this is going to be one of the longest weeks ever until he's out of there. This is the voice of the American Redoubt. I'm John Jacob Schmidt. This is the John Jacob Schmidt Show. Thank you all for tuning in. I hope you had a blessed week. And thank you guys for tuning in and supporting us for our 30-minute blast on KTW, on the radio stations there and live streaming. That audio file is uploaded now for you to go back and listen to. Thank you guys for your continued support, your prayers, and your encouragement. I just hope that I can be as much of an encouragement to you. This is going to be a very interesting week. Entertaining, to say the least, but riveting, even. Well, we've got a lot of stuff to cover. There are a lot of things happening. I still do not believe that one man is the answer to making America great again. But one man sure can do a lot of damage to ruining America. So I'll tell you what, to be honest with you, Trump, I'm one of these prove it kind of guys. We're going to make America great again. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. I'm saying, prove it. Well, Trump is slowly winning me over. I have to admit it. He's not even president yet, and he's already affecting change. He's cleaning house. So we'll see what happens. The first 100 days are going to be interesting if the globalists allow him to even get that far. But we'll watch it. We'll watch it unfold. We've got a lot of stuff going on. We've got a special guest joining us in segment 4 coming up here in a little bit. And I know you guys, many of you are going to be looking forward to hearing from him. Sam Culper from the Forward Observer magazine, Guerrilla America, and the Forward Observer podcast. Always a treat. But first, let's get into the news and commentary brought to you by Glenn Tate and the 299 Days book series, with all 10 books out, including the audiobooks. Trump wants more press in the press room. That you might find that hard to believe with the volatile relationship that Trump has had with the press recently, counterattacking them brilliantly. Well, now is another move that has the corporate media alarmed. Bloomberg just ran a story, Bloomberg.com. Trump wants more press in the press room. The incoming Trump administration is considering moving the White House press briefings out of the West Wing to accommodate more than the Washington media elite, his press secretary said. That's Sean Spicer. He said, This is about greater accessibility, more people in the process. He said this on Fox's news channel's Media Buzz, involving more people, including bloggers and others who aren't from the mainstream media, should be seen as a welcome change, he said. Wow. Can you imagine Michelle Malkin and others like that in the White House press media? That's fake news. They're not even real news channels. You're going to let those street urchins in here? Absolutely. Because the real fake news is the corporate news. Communist-backed news organizations going to have some competition. Well, they're already – what scares them is those that are speaking the truth outside of the corporate media will be legitimized by being allowed into the White House. And it is also making – it's going to accelerate the trend of making the slipstream media more and more irrelevant, if that makes sense. Anchorage, Alaska. The state of Alaska on Friday sued two federal agencies to overturn a ban on certain hunting techniques on national refuges and preserves, including the killing of black bear sows. So let me move on here. The state also wants the National Park Services and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to allow the hunting of black bears and grizzly bears, also known as brown bears, over bait. Well, why couldn't they do this before? Because it's a refuge. It's a federal law. So they're suing. They're saying these federal regulations are not about predator control or protecting the state's wildlife numbers. These regulations are about the federal government trying to control Alaskans' way of life and how Alaskans conduct their business. This is contrary to state and federal law. Bingo. So you're starting to get some states that are frustrated, pushing back, and asserting their 10th Amendment recognized rights. This is federalism. We talked about this before, what federalism is, right? There is a separation of jurisdictions, and the federal government's obviously been overstepping its jurisdiction for a long, long time as states are starting to push back. Regional news, Washington firearms bill. We talked about this yesterday. It does not look like it's going to their so-called assault weapons ban, banning guns that are ugly and scary and 10-round magazines or magazines that will hold 10 or more rounds of ammunition. Doesn't look like it's going to have the votes to pass. So reason to celebrate? Not yet. It's not over. But so far it's looking good. Also in regional news within the American Redoubt, we've been talking about Representative Heather Scott being under attack this week. She just started a new website, and it is called, it's the Growing Freedom Agenda. Growing Freedom for Idaho Agenda to hold lawmakers accountable, to be able to rate the legislators. Now, she's a mover and a shaker and a patriot, and the establishment cannot stand her, so they're trying to destroy her. There's some fabricated, trumped-up accusations and some things that were taken out of context that she said, which are actually based in truth, when she didn't get a committee assignment that she wanted in December, where others who were involved in affairs were actually getting promoted, where it was common knowledge. Legislators involved in affairs were promoted to either chair or vice chair positions. So she, in a moment of emotional outburst to privately to another legislator, said, would you get to sleep with somebody to get on a committee around here? And this person went and complained. And so now the fallout is just incredible. Representative Heather Scott says the Speaker of the House is trying to divert attention on the real issues that some legislators are being promoted after violating state law, which of course she's talking about adultery. And well, she just shouldn't have said something like that. Speaking the truth around here, that'll get you in trouble. Well, she's fighting back. She's a patriot. She could definitely use your support. She posted a letter here about another legislator that is involved allegedly in an affair that wrote a letter saying they're afraid of Heather Scott, feeling fear for their safety. She's paranoid, aggressive behavior, a typical liberal attack. And this has just been amazing to watch unfold. Remember her in your prayers. Remember all of your legislators in your prayers as we move forward. We've got a lot of material we're going to be covering tonight. Some stories, one story in particular. Chrisanne Hall broke. This is the first I'd heard of it. And it's just infuriating. And this is out of Kansas. I'm going to call for some support. The patriots out there, those of you especially in Kansas, to stand up for this family that is being ripped apart. And a government that so far has not been standing up and enforcing the law, allowing the federal government to persecute a family for doing something that was lawful. More on that when we come back. Fox 519 with the Eye on the Economy. Segment 2 coming up. Don't go away.
Prayers answered, and new concerns arise in the new year. Hello, everyone. Fox 519 here. Imagine, if you will, if you received a $1,000 power bill, and that was the norm for your area. Well, if the left gets their wish, it just might be. This week on Eye on the Economy, we are seeing how things, again, aren't quite what they seem to our neighbors of the north, and how we could soon see horrific changes here if the left gets their way to implement carbon taxes and smart meters. So listen as I continue to bring you the news and financial commentaries that matter to your pocketbook as patriots and preppers. This is Eye on the Economy, brought to you by Radio Free Redoubt. Hello, everyone. Fox 519 here. Over the past year, you have heard me tell you about the Redoubt's most amazing coffee, Sisters Coffee Roasters. And I have to tell you, I've been drinking the San Marco Supremo, and it's amazing. I'm not blowing hot air here, fellow Redoubters. This is quite possibly the most amazing coffee I've ever drank. It smells amazing. It tastes even better. You've got to go out and order a couple of bags right away. It will change your coffee drinking forever. So log on right after the show tonight and go to www.sisterscoffeeroasters.us and order your bags of San Marco Supreme right away. You will know, too, what it is like to experience coffee the way it was meant to be tasted. That's www.sisterscoffeeroasters.us. Remember, that's two great ladies and an amazing coffee roast. www.sisterscoffeeroasters.us. Well, welcome back. And to start things off, prayers have been answered, and I now have gainful employment. And I even get to serve the Lord in my new role, too. We at the Fox Den are so excited and thankful for your prayers that you all sent our way over the past few months. I ask for prayers again for God to open up new doors for his kingdom to be expanded, and that I remain humble to be his servant in the coming years. Okay, on to the news. So again, imagine if you went to your mailbox, opened up your power bill or water bill, and it was $1,000, and included a tax line that read, quote, your fair share. Now, imagine if this happened every single month. Well, that's what happens to our neighbors in the north. Ontarians currently are spending 30% of or more on their energy bills each month, and the effects are devastating. To make matters worse, right now 60,000 people in the province of Ontario are behind in their power bill, and that grows every single day. Now, why are the reasons that these bills are so high? Well, first, it's the oversupply of power. Ontario's electricity producers are generating more power than they consume in the province. But the government is locked into contracts to purchase that power irregardless, and then sells off the excess to us here in the U.S. at rates below the cost of production, so they're not even making a profit on it. Now, 60,000 people aren't consuming power up there. They still have to pay their, quote, fair share for every month that the power is produced, and that's what they're seeing on their bills. Next is pricey green energy. Wind, solar, and bioenergy account for 6.3% of the total electricity generated in the Ontario province, but that only accounts for 16.3% of total generating costs. And that's according to the Ontario Energy Auditor General Research Investigation into the prices up there. Auditor Bonnie List criticized the government for offering overly generous contracts when it launched its big green energy push in 2009. Kind of sounds like Solyndra down here. Now, despite shifting gears to a competitive bidding process, the auditor found in 2014 that Ontario was still paying, quote, double the market price for wind and 3.5 times the market for solar energy. Next we got to look at is the weakened oversight of the energy industry. The Ontario Energy Board is an independent body that regulates electricity prices in the province, but not all electricity pricing. It has little ability to control the price paid to electricity generators other than Ontario Power Generation's nuclear plants at Pickering and Darlington, and those and some of the OPG's electric dams. The OEB does not have power over private energy producers. They negotiate prices directly with the government, and some have negotiated rather profitable contracts, as we see, since that is their motive, and now we are seeing the results of those contracts and how it's hurting the local people. How about this? Time use of pricing, and this is one of the biggest factors here, folks, that I'm really concerned with. Ontario bought into smart meters that allow for variable pricing of electricity during the day, with the aim of driving down consumption during those times of high use by raising the prices substantially during peak periods. So if you're home or work from home or you even live in Ontario, your prices go up during the day. The move has had little effect on peak demand, and according to an analysis commissioned by the government's independent electricity systems operator, that means that Ontarians are still paying, they're still consuming plenty of electricity during those peak periods and are paying gobs more money for it. Lastly, well-paid hydro workers. And the latest edition of the Canadian Sunrise list includes 7,600 employees of Ontario Power Generation. Their earnings total $1.7 billion. The last time Hydro One workers were on the Sunshine List in 2014, there were 4,200 employees, salaries totaling $550 million. So we're doubling, almost doubling it there. Now, the Auditor General of Canada flagged in 2013 that generous salaries, pensions, and benefits at OPG, especially among top executives, were partly to blame for rising hydro prices. That's substantial, folks, a double amount in that. So why should we in the readout be concerned over this? Well, one, there are neighbors to the north, and what happens to them sometimes affects us. But let's start with the obvious, smart meters. That equals more government intrusion into our lives. Currently, companies like Avista Utilities, Sour Power and Light, as well as other smaller utilities throughout Idaho and Montana, are heavily looking into them as ways of monitoring how much power you use, can raise the prices, lower the prices remotely, and shut you down when you don't pay. And we especially have companies like liberal companies like Ecova, based in Spokane, Washington, endorsing them as a way to save more costs. That's just a plain lie. It's a way to price out electricity even more efficiently. Next is government contracts. When you commit to that level of spending, wasteful spending at that, you're not listening to your people. Currently in the readout, we have good people like Matt Shea and Heather Scott fighting for us in their state houses. And they need your support, especially right now. Watch what they say about cap and trade as well as government spending. And when they say they need you, step up and be ready to help out. This is the year to get involved. Don't stand idly by and think that someone else is going to do it for you. Lastly is green energy. It just isn't there yet. We'll get there someday, and you need to have some of it in order to generate power and the bottom falls out. But solar panels and biofuel tech, they're close, but just not cost effective. But traditional means are, and the left hates this, dams and traditional power generation methods. The left hate it. They are pushing carbon taxes and global warming as a means of trying to get rid of those. And that's why we need to continue to back good people who are backing that type of electricity. Yes, we don't have $1,000 power bills just yet, but we could be well on the way if we don't protect the system that we have. To me, that's worth its weight in gold for the moment. Thanks again for listening. Thanks again for your prayers in the last few months. And for Eye on the Economy and Radio Free Readout, this is Fox 519 signing off. God bless.
Segment 2, brought to you by Selkirk Mountain Real Estate. Go to selkirkmountainrealestate.com if you are interested in getting strategically relocated to the northernmost part of the panhandle in North Idaho and you want to work with a Patriot-owned business. Get a hold of selkirkmountainrealestate.com right away. My email address is johnjacob@radiofreeredoubt.com, and that's our website in case you're listening to a downloaded audio file or a CD. This is the first time you've heard of Radio Free Redoubt. Welcome. to the voice of the resistance against everything that has set itself against Americanism and traditional Judeo-Christian values and ideals and against liberty. Oh, here is a story. Announcement. I almost forgot this last week. I did in one of the shows. Jordan Page, Patriot music artist, is going to be in concert Saturday, this coming Saturday, January 21st, 7 p.m. at the Spokane Valley La Belle La Vie Event Center. Now, we've got a posting at RadioFreeRedoubt.com. Click on that. There's instructions. There's a link to the Facebook page. If you're on Facebook, go to Facebook page and go to that event page from the from that posting. And click on it. Say, I'm going. Let us know that you're on the way. We're going to have a special guest, Jeanette Finicum, the wife, widow of Lavoie Finicum, approaching the one-year anniversary of his death. The concert is free. But they are asking, we are asking, for a $20 suggested donation. However, there no one will be turned away. If you can't afford that, if you can just throw a couple, if you can't afford anything, come anyway. All patriots are welcome. We don't want you to miss out. But we really want to support Jordan and his family so he can continue doing what he's doing. He's doing a great thing. Now, for those of you who cannot make it, don't despair. We will be live streaming the event Saturday night. We've done that before. One other Jordan Page concert. It was a lot of fun. Very positive feedback and very popular among the listening audience. Being able to, and it was rewarding for us to be able to share that with you guys who were not able to physically be there. This is the way for you to still be there with us. There's a video I want to invite you to go watch over at chrisannhall.com. In 2013, Kansas Governor Sam Brownback signed into law House Bill 2199, also known as the Second Amendment Protection Act. Now, this is something that all of us patriots hope and dream of, hope for and dream of, our own legislatures passing this type of law into existence. But a law is only good if it's enforced. If it's enforced. This House bill, the Second Amendment Protection Act, states that any federal gun control laws that may be passed are not valid in the state of Kansas under the new law. The bill also prevents any federal agent from enforcing federal gun control laws within the state, as well as allowing prosecution of federal officers who try to enforce such laws within the state's borders. Can I hear a hallelujah? Additionally, the statute purportedly exempts from federal gun control laws the firearms, accessories, and ammunition manufactured commercially or privately in Kansas and kept within the state's borders. This is where the ATF has exerted and tried to justify the exertion of its so-called authority by saying this is the interstate commerce, which is what this falls under. You build a firearm, it crosses state lines to go to another state to be sold. It falls within the federal government's purview, their jurisdiction, because that's interstate trade. All of the federal firearms laws are based on this. If it doesn't cross a state line, federal law doesn't apply to machine guns, short-barreled rifles, ammunition, manufacturing, transfer, sale, as long as it doesn't cross the border. Right? In theory. The Kansas Act made it a felony for a federal official to enforce certain directives of Congress regarding firearms. But, and I'm reading to you from the posting at chrisannhall.com, but the citizens get thrown under the bus. Prosecutors for the federal government have charged Shane Cox, owner of Tough Guys Gun Store in, forgive me if I mess this up, Chanute, a gun store in Chanute, of illegally making and marketing firearms, specifically sound suppressors. Prosecutors as well have accused Jeremy Kettler, a disabled U.S. Army veteran, as a tough guy's client who acquired a silencer from Cox and filmed a live fire test of the gear. Everything these men did were supposed to be protected by the Kansas Second Amendment Protection Act. But Governor Brownback has not come to their defense, and neither has their Kansas Attorney General Derek Schmidt. Jeremy Kettler, the guy who purchased the sound suppressor, as you see at the end of the video, is a young man with a young family and young children. He has never been charged or convicted with a crime, and everything he did based on the belief that his behavior was completely lawful based on Kansas law, and with the expectation that if need be, the state of Kansas would step in on his behalf to defend his rights, which is the state's primary duty, to protect the citizens' rights. That's fundamental. You go back to all the teachings of the founding fathers and founding documents and the thesis that have been written on the purpose of the state. That is, number one, to protect the rights of the citizens, including from the state. Well, the federal government, in a brutal and sadistic act of shameless authority and disregard for the Second Amendment, Kansas law, and this young man's family, want to put him in jail. So I want you guys to watch this video. On this posting, which we're going to link in the highlights and resources posting, we'll take you over to chrisannhall.com. To this article, if you scroll down after watching the video, it's kind of hard to listen to because it was done in a very echoey, open, some type of hall. And it's loud and echoey, but the content is just amazing. Chris Ann Hall did a great job. Scroll to the bottom of her posting, and there are the contact information for the Attorney General, Derek Schmidt, no relation, in Kansas. The Kansas Governor's Office. There's email addresses for them. The prosecutor Hathaway, Richard Hathaway. And more. There's more here. So you guys need to light them up. Let them know that this is completely unacceptable. This is horrendous. They finally did the right thing and passed a law saying federal firearms laws do not apply to citizens here when their firearms they manufacture, own, possess, build, do not cross state lines. And it's a felony for any federal agent to enforce federal laws that don't pertaining to firearms or any accessories that don't cross state lines. So they need to be reminded to do their job. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk about some of the threats that we're facing from the inauguration, some of the violence that's being planned and called for, and how that might affect you and what maybe you could do about it. Oh, lots of material. Okay, we'll be back in a minute with segment 3 here at the Voice of the American Redoubt. Hi everyone, this is John Jacob Schmidt here to tell you about the 299 Days book series by lawyer and author Glenn Tate. Go to 299days.com to learn more.
Greetings, Patriots. This is Chris Walsh, broker at Revolutionary Realty, located in the heart of America's Great Redoubt, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. I sell land and backwoods cabins to America's Patriots every day. Creeks, springs, timber, and game, good survivable property without natural disasters. The state of Idaho has a balanced budget, and our people believe deeply in the Second Amendment. Call me today at 208-667-1776, or visit me online at www.revrealty.us. I'll be glad to serve you, and God bless America.
Brutality. Everything.
This is segment three of Radio Free Redoubt. And segment three is brought to you by StrategicLandscapeDesign.com. If you're planning your landscaping, then you want to do it with the forethought to integrate the primary needs of food production, water access, energy supply, and security features, which are crucial for the long-term viability of your retreat or your homestead. Get a hold of StrategicLandscapeDesign.com to learn more. Also based out of the American Redoubt. Now, this segment, I want to cover some of the threats that we are seeing out there, those that are calling for disruptions. One article here from IntelliHub, and there are many out there, I just started picking some. Planned violence. Organizer of Trump inauguration mass riots doesn't believe in peaceful transition of power. And this is what they're saying. No peaceful transition of power. Well, what's the opposite of peaceful? Violence? An organizer for one of the numerous hard left groups planning mass riots in and around Washington, D.C. during the inauguration of Donald Trump has revealed that they do not believe in a peaceful transition between Obama and the president-elect. Legba Carrefour, an organizer for Disrupt J20, told Reuters Wednesday that her group planned pre-dawn blockades and disruptions during the evening inaugural balls on top of the protests during the actual inauguration. It was made clear that this was not about peacefully protesting, but rather part of a larger attempt to literally steal the election. They said some 300 Disrupt J20 volunteers will work to mobilize demonstrators for a series of protests the group has dubbed the Festival of Resistance. A festival of resistance. Something tells me it's going to be anything but festive. I went to Disrupt J20, also started following it on Twitter. You watch the video that they put there promoting the event. And look at the footage that they've placed in there, and you let me know if that's peaceful protesting. Far from it. Now, we do have some of these big mouths, Rosie O'Donnell, Michael Moore, calling for protesting, but who cares? Nobody listens to them. They don't have any followers to speak of. So it really doesn't matter what they think or say. But some of these other organizations, communist-backed and influenced, and some of them with Soros ties, allegedly, plan to completely bring the cities in America to a standstill. There are some Twitter accounts, and I'm going to be talking to Sam Culper in segment four about some of this. He's got an article over there at Forward Observer. How volatile would the inauguration protests be? According to some estimates, Inauguration Day could have as many as 750,000 show up to protest against the incoming Trump administration, aiding the FBI and Secret Service in securing the Washington, D.C. will be some 7,500 National Guardsmen, 3,000 law enforcement officers from around the nation, and a protest group calling themselves Disrupt J20, having been claiming for weeks that they intend to disrupt the event. They say, we're planning a series of massive direct actions that will shut down the inauguration ceremonies and any related celebrations. We're also planning to paralyze the city. Now, mind you, there's several organizations that are calling for simultaneous protests across the country. I strongly recommend following some of this stuff, especially as we get closer. Broadcastify is one app that you can listen to live streaming scanner traffic. Although we expect those will probably be cut off at the request of law enforcement because violent protesters will be using Broadcastify to track the movements and actions of law enforcement. Local scanners would probably be your best bet if you are within range. Hopefully you wouldn't be. Our number one rule for survival is stay away from the crowds, and especially the inner cities and Washington, D.C., any time of the year, and particularly this week and Friday. But you can follow these organizations and be a great opportunity to begin with your intelligence gathering and analysis skills. Twitter. If you don't have a Twitter account, set one up. I recommend it. Not to use Twitter to tweet all the everything that you're doing you and ate for lunch, but for following what's going on. Hashtag, which is a pound sign, DisruptJ20. Hashtag DisruptJ20. Hashtag NoFascistUSA. Hashtag RefuseFascism. They just posted, growing hour after hour, don't let Trump take the power. They really want to stop him and the inaugurations from taking place. They do not want a peaceful transition. But there's something else that was alarming to me that I keyed in on, and it was an article from Judicial Watch. This is something that's getting very, very little attention, and we've referred to this often over the last couple of years, and that's the growing Islamic / cartel connection threat. The Threat Journal from Alerts USA had an article, and also this was on Judicial Watch, but I just want to share this with you. If you're around the border area, I would recommend being highly vigilant, moving away from the border area, at least during this next week, if that's practical for you. A new report published this week by Judicial Watch indicates an alliance between Islamic jihadists and drug cartels in the Mexican state of Nuevo León, as collaborating to carry out attacks in American cities and ports of entry along the southern border. This is according to intelligence obtained by Judicial Watch from confidential U.S. and Mexican law enforcement sources. An internal Mexican law enforcement report obtained by Judicial Watch confirms that Islamic terrorists have people along the border, principally in the five northernmost states of Sonora, Chihuahua, Coahuila, Nuevo León, and Tamaulipas. According to the report, cartel informants are telling law enforcement contacts that they are only waiting for the order and the times to carry out the simultaneous attack in the different ports of entry or the cities of the United States of America. Drug cartels have a working agreement with Islamic terrorists, according to a high-ranking Mexican police administrator, who said that the men from the Middle East arrive regularly into the country to train jihadists. Readers are reminded that less than 3 weeks ago, the House Homeland Security Committee released the December terror threat snapshot, within which American citizens are warned that the United States faces its highest Islamic terror threat environment since 9/11. And much of the threat now stems from the individuals who have been radicalized at home. In 2015 through 2016, the U.S. saw 115 cases launched against homegrown jihadists arrested in some stage of an attack plotting or support. The report goes on to say that the shift in ISIS messaging from joining the jihad in Syria and Iraq to carrying out attacks in fighters' home countries is likely to accelerate this trend. There's more at Judicial Watch as well. That this could very well. Traditionally, the cartels have kept this very much on the down low because they don't want the borders to be sealed. But if Trump does what he says he's going to, that's going to hurt the cartels. So they're back to, well, they have nothing to lose anyway, so let's go for it. To join up with ISIS, other jihadists, with the weapons, the intelligence apparatus, the communications, pretty sophisticated groups. This is a very valid threat. So we'll continue to watch that as that unfolds. But we're going to have Sam Culper coming up here in the next segment. Some more information here, too, I wanted to get to, but I'm not going to have time. The UN Global Propaganda Campaign targeting school textbooks. And they're saying the United States is disappointingly behind the curve on what it should be incorporating. Maybe I'll cover that next week. Unbelievable. It's you cannot take a day off. The price of liberty is eternal vigilance. You can take a brief hiatus. You can take a break to recuperate and strengthen yourself, but you got to get back in the fight. All right, segment four coming up right here at the Voice of the American Rebel.
This is Matt Shea with your daily news commentary, the way I see it. Well, now that the election results are official, I want to say thank you. I could not have achieved an overwhelming 15 percentage point victory without all of you. Together, we challenged the status quo and sent a strong message to those who compromise on principle that wavering is not a strategy, it's wholesale surrender. And surrender will not restore freedom, liberty, and prosperity to our state. The path to freedom means fighting tooth and nail for lower taxes and less government, and being uncompromising on the rights to life, liberty, property, and the ability to defend the same. It means defending the Constitution and building coalitions around issues of principle. Together, we will continue to push forward the freedom agenda and the values that made America and Washington great. Please visit us and like us on Facebook at Freedom Agenda Washington and watch for actions you can take to help us clear the path to freedom. At least, that's the way I see it. This is Matt Shea. Thank you for listening. Paid for by the committee who elect Matt Shea Republican.
Welcome to the fourth and final segment here at RadioFreeRedoubt.com, live streaming Sunday night, and the podcast uploaded for your listening pleasure and downloading and sharing throughout the rest of the week. All of our podcasts from day one, from what, June 5th of 2011. Man, 5 years, going on 6 years. This is incredible. Over a million hits on our podcasts. This has been pretty wild, and I just am grateful for all of you being with us on this journey, for your support. This segment is brought to you by another one of our great sponsors, Katie Armor, C-A-T-I, katiearmor.com, to help you with your body armor needs, including the soft armor, but they've got the hard plate armor, front, back, sides, and free shipping on everything. And they're also an American Redoubt-based business. All right, we're joined by a special guest many of you guys are already familiar with, Sam Culper from the Forward Observer magazine, the Forward Observer podcast. He is a former Army intelligence specialist and a prolific writer, an active patriot. He brings a special set of skill sets to the Patriot community and the preparedness community, and that is something that's very overlooked, probably as much as communications is, but that is intelligence, the intelligence process. Sam, thanks for joining us here today. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing well, John Jacob. I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me on again.
All right, and you're on the return back from a training this weekend. Is that right?
Yep. I'm on the road, so hopefully the audio is not too bad.
It's not too bad. We'll make it happen. I know that you're a busy guy too. You're traveling a lot, so we'll take what we can get, and we'll be happy with it. So now we've got some stuff going on here. I've been talking about. We've been leading up to, and that is the inauguration of President-elect Trump this coming Friday on January 20th. From an intelligence standpoint, and this is really important from a preparedness, patriot preparedness standpoint, for our situational awareness to be practicing using, compiling information and making it useful And that's one of the jobs of a radio operator among Amron. We really stress gathering and sharing information. And, you know, every radio operator out there is a sensor. You see and hear things, and you need to pass that along. But here we are in a grid-up situation. We've got the internet. We've got a lot of very powerful tools at our fingertips. And we want to talk about how to use that and why are we going to be using some of that stuff. So do we have some legitimate threats as we approach this Friday?
Well, threats are typically a game of proximity. So, you know, you in the readout, me in Texas, with the inauguration going on in D.C., probably not. However, I will, you know, there are some protests in Seattle and some of the larger cities scheduled. So is there a risk on a national or strategic level? Certainly. Is it a threat to any one specific person outside of D.C. or outside one of these protest areas? Probably not.
Right. And so what would these threats be that would threaten the – well, it's okay. So the first advice is stay away from the cities and the crowds and built-up areas. Would you agree?
Yes. And if you – you know, if you have – if you're near a, or in a just a little area or any kind of large population center, I'd get on Facebook or practice a little bit of Google Foo and just see if there are protests that are scheduled near you or your city.
Yeah. And outside of that, let's just talk about the domestic threat. And that is these large groups. What are some of the groups that you're aware of that has planned protests or even planned violence?
Yeah. So there's this group called Disrupt J20 or Disrupt January 20th.
Yeah.
And they've been pretty active. The estimate sounds high to me, but I haven't seen the most recent estimates, but some government officials were estimating that there might be 750,000 protesters in D.C. Starting, you know, Thursday, Friday, and into the weekend. RevCom, Revolutionary Communist USA, that's another kind of violent leftist group. They support communist revolution, and honestly, I don't think they actually have any clue what they're getting into, but, you know, by God, they have the heart.
yeah.
And there are other groups. I can't nail them off the top of my head, but we've got a list of them.
Okay. So you do have a list of those. And let me ask you this. With the backdrop of the entire global system feeling threatened by Trump, and, you know, foreign governments, even our own government, certain elements within our own government. What do you place the likelihood of a state-level disruption of some type to Trump's administration as far as something that could be catastrophic?
Let's start with the very high likelihood, which is dysfunction in government and leftist protests in government, essentially leftist sabotage, leftist trying to throw the wrench into the Trump machine. Whether or not he drained the swamp or, you know, that's kind of irrelevant. But protests that are very high profile because they're happening, you know, in the Congress, they're happening in D.C., they're happening through the news media. As far as the event itself, the inauguration, there's a chance that there's going to be some disruption. Disrupt J20, their whole goal is to disrupt D.C., make it a very high-profile event, get lots of news coverage, you know, make it seem like everyone is in opposition to Trump or everyone is in opposition to the Republican Congress. Could there be some violence? Certainly. One of the things that I'm tracking right now as far as indicators is organized political violence. And that's something that we've been looking at all throughout the election as well.
Yeah.
You know, you go back to we go back to our political insurgency manuals or, leftist communist insurgency manuals. And there's a pyramid of 21 indicators. And last I saw, like a few weeks ago, I put in the Exxon, there are 7 of 21 indicators were lit up. They're present. And so there certainly is the potential for organized political violence to occur. Did that answer your question?
Yeah. From the domestic side, I wanted to find out what intelligence indicators might be there. And the other thing that I'm concerned about with, especially with the, like I said, this global system that stands a lot to lose by Trump becoming president, what indicators are there, or what is your assessment of the potential for state level interruptions, disruptions, or some type of catastrophic intervention by state-level agencies or groups?
So the individual states are like the nation-state level?
Nation-state interference.
Okay. Oh, so you mean like some kind of hacking or systems disruption or something like that?
Anything. Are you seeing any indicators out there? Is anything that's got you paying real close attention to activity, chatter, any indicators that there could be a nation state level interruption to the inauguration, or something possibly even to prevent him from taking office?
Yeah, you know, nothing I've seen. I watched the, before class started this morning, I watched old McDougal or McDonough or McDonald or whatever his name is, the chief of staff of the Obama administration, and on Jake Tapper on CNN this morning, and he said, you know, the president is committed to a peaceful transition of power. He believes that Donald Trump is he's going to be the next president, free and fairly elected next president. And Jake Tapper posted a follow-up question. He said, so you're not denying that you don't believe that there's a legitimacy issue for Trump? And the chief of staff said, well, I would just go back to, this is what President Obama believed. And, you know, he kind of dodged the question. And so that was picked up by a couple of alternative media outlets. Like, well, the chief of staff is not denying that Donald Trump is a legitimate president.
Right.
So, is there some kind of disruption? Yes. The last I saw, there's 22 House Democrats that are going to protest the inauguration by not showing up. Could there be sit-ins in Congress? Certainly. Especially if this feud between John Lewis and Trump deepens and it becomes a racial issue, not just a political issue, because it's not a racial or a personal issue. It is purely political. But we'll see what the left does with this situation. Of course, they have an axe to grind, so they're going to blow things out of proportion and make things seem more threatening than they are.
Right. Okay, so you don't see anything Russia, China, Iran, any type of international nation state potential threats there that you're watching?
Well, let me say this: most of what I have to go on is open source, and if there is some kind of secret flight, it probably are not. I'm not going to see any indicators in open source, so I'm not saying anything. I think the likelihood is relatively low. But again, I don't have that kind of access to intelligence sitting in front of me anymore.
Sure, sure. Okay, well, there's something else that I know that you've been paying close attention to. The Washington, D.C. National Guard, their commanding general, Army Major General Errol Schwartz, will be stepping down at midnight, right in the middle of the command of a very significant operation in charge of the security during the inauguration, the transition of power between two presidents. What's your take on that?
Yeah, you know, I wish I could give you a better answer, but this is the honest truth. I've been teaching class all weekend. I saw it pop across my news feed. I just haven't had time to sit down. The first couple of reports, as are often the case, are sometimes blown out of proportion. So I've seen a couple of reports that make it out to be this huge, big deal and conspiracy. And I've seen follow-up reports that say, well, it's actually maybe for a different reason. So to be honest with you, I don't know. I haven't had the time to look at it.
Yeah. Well, I know that this administration coming in is bent on cleaning house and they've already got all of our foreign dignitaries recalled. I mean, you will not be in that position January 21st. You will be gone. So
yeah, I love it.
Yeah, I mean, so this could be part of that. I know it is concerning when you see this is definitely what you would call unprecedented. To see a commander on that level, general officer, being removed from duty, from his position.
Yeah, John Jacob, we may as well get used to this, because for the past 8 years, Obama has been cleaning house in the military. There's been a purge of high-ranking flag officers. We've seen it in other government agencies as well. It's not just limited to the military.
Yep.
And so... And they were replaced with political apparatchiks, because their competence, it takes a backseat to ideology. And so I think, honestly, we may as well just get ready for Trump's term, because I think they're going to clean house in the intelligence community. They're going to shrink the Office of the Director of National Intelligence. They're probably going to shrink elements of CIA. They may look at doing similar things at DIA and some of the other national intelligence agencies. And we may as well just get ready for it, because it's coming.
You bet. You bet. Okay. Well, let's talk about intelligence gathering and analysis, the process of this, which is an acronym you teach in your courses. I've sat in on your courses a couple times, and I highly recommend them.
Thank you.
And that is the ACE. That's the analysis and control element. Basically, those that are handling raw information coming in and making it useful. Would you say that was a fair summary of what an ACE does?
Yeah, the ACE is the brain. So, the way that we operate as kind of a community ACE or regional or area ACE is going to be a little bit different from what the Army or a three-letter agency does, because we don't have the resources, we're small, we have to be efficient, we have to wear many hats. But yes, we are the brain. We identify our intelligence gaps, we generate requirements, we task collection. In some cases, we may actually go and collect that intelligence ourselves, the intelligence information, bring it back, put it into our decision matrix, run it through our analytic tools or analytic structures, and then generate intelligence. And once we have intelligence, we can make better decisions. So, yes, that is exactly what the ACE does.
Okay, super. Now, with the inauguration coming up, with threats that we don't have to guess about, just the ones that we know of, could bring about some real chaos, at least in our larger cities, and especially Washington, D.C., if this doesn't affect us in most of America, and it's very isolated, if nothing else, this provides an incredible training opportunity on a real-world environment, a real-world situation. And that's what you guys are doing if the Forward Observer. You're going to be setting up and operating an ACE. Is that correct?
Yes. We've done the virtual ACE a couple times now, and now that we're kind of settled down in Texas, we're going to be doing a live ACE. So we've rented a hotel conference room. We're going to be running a live ACE as well as a virtual ACE for folks outside of the area who also want to participate.
Okay, super. And now, how can those who want to participate in the virtual ACE to be tied in with your live ACE that you're going to be running there in Texas?
Okay, so yeah, we are looking for volunteers, people who want to help out. I would say this: if you want to come and hang out in the chat room and kind of see the message traffic get bounced back and forth, you're more than welcome to. If you want to volunteer, I just ask that you be dedicated, roll up your sleeves, get ready to do some work, be responsive to tasking. If you're asked to do something like, monitor police traffic or monitor a website or monitor a Twitter feed or monitor a Facebook profile or something like that, you would be the best help if you just pitched in and reported what was significant. So you can send me an email, just email me at Rome, like R-O-M-E, Rome at my website, readfomag.com. And just, you know, first name is fine. A good way to contact you, whether by email or cell phone. And when we build the roster early this week, we'll try to fit folks in. And also, I would say this, you know, I don't know how the protests are going to be in Seattle, but it sounds like they will not be insignificant. So really, this is a good opportunity, too, for folks in the readout to run their own ACES for the Seattle area.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. And we plan on doing this with Ameron Core. We'll be operating a virtual ACE. And we've got, you know, several tools, open source intelligence tools that we use. One of those is Broadcastify, of course. And you mentioned that in your training as well, one that we've used for a long time, of course. Just like some of these other protests and, you know, violent outbursts, like with Black Lives Matter, the perpetrators oftentimes are using Broadcastify to track the law enforcement communications, and we're seeing those increasingly get shut down. They're asking those that are broadcasting on Broadcastify to stop streaming. So you really benefit by having a scanner, a P25 capable scanner in the area, collecting that information, because those stop the Broadcastify feed. But and that would be really helpful as well. What other tools do you recommend for the virtual ACE, those that are trying to gather and process intelligence? What tools are available to them?
Oh, let's see. Well, Google Alerts, that's a pretty good one. You can just go to google.com/alerts, type in your search query, so, you know, Washington, D.C. and protest, and then put on the setting as Google. So Google is indexing all these pages and keyword indexing all this content. As these news articles are published all across the web, so if you set your Google Alerts to send you an email when a new article pops up, that's a really good way to just get a constant feed of data, something that you can monitor without having to go and spend a lot of time searching for. You can use a tool like Feedly, F-E-D-L-Y, and you can monitor a certain news source, or you can monitor for search terms, again, for keywords. And that will, similar to Google Alerts, it'll just, kind of like a ticker, it'll just keep updating with new articles. And you can click on them and gather important information as you can. One problem with Twitter is that a couple months ago, Twitter cut the API access, basically the Twitter firehose for a lot of companies. And so we haven't found a replacement for Twitter feed, but you know, you used to be able to look at a map and see live tweets, you know, as they're tweeted, and also content. And so you can get that locational data from the tweet as well as the content, which is really good. But I haven't found a replacement yet. I got to do that this week.
Okay. But if anything, they can still go set up a Twitter account with, you know, any type of name, some type of fictitious name. You don't have to put personal information in there. Even if you're not going to use Twitter, it's a great tool for tracking live action as it's unfolding. Set up a, you know, a kind of a fake account, if you will, and start following some of these activities, groups, and what are called hashtags. So you know, hashtag disrupt J20 is a good one. I've been following that for the last couple of days. The Occupy Wall Street NYC is another good one, a communist-backed, influenced group that is pretty prolific in their communications. So you can kind of gauge the tempo of their actions, and even what they're calling direct action to take to disrupt things. So, yeah, right now that's okay. So we're going to strongly encourage folks to go to your website and get involved in that. The website for feeding intel in, or even would you be giving folks that if you don't have a lot of people there at your live physical location, could you be assigning people whether it's Twitter or websites or things like that? Could they take assignments remotely and then report in stuff to you at that email address?
Yes, absolutely. And we use chat rooms on Unseen. It's kind of like a Slack channel. And so all they have to do is copy and paste. You know, if we say, hey, here's a protester who's live tweeting these protests or riots, or who's uploading pictures or video, or an Instagram user, or whatever other kind of all these video tools that are out there. And just give us a heads up with, hey, this is live video, here's the link, so we can click into it, and just help us monitor all this stuff, because we're building that Forward Observer, we're building an automation tool to help us keep track of all this stuff. It's not done yet, so we have to do it manually. So yes, if you want to help us produce real-time intelligence and read our kind of intelligence summaries and help contribute to that, then we would certainly appreciate that help.
Okay, now, are you only going to open up or announce this unseen.is chat channel to those who contact you to volunteer to help out? Or are you wanting to put that out now?
No, that's just going to be for volunteers, and there are going to be multiple rooms for different sections.
Okay.
So everything's not jumbled on top of each other. But I'll tell you one thing we are going to do is we'll be live, maybe do hourly live Facebook and live YouTube updates. I'll be doing those for someone in Austin with me, or we'll hop on and give an update. And so that'll be publicized through our Twitter account, through our Facebook, and our YouTube channel.
Okay, and YouTube. Okay, good. And
so folks, if you want to follow along, we'll be doing scheduled updates, on the hour, every hour, and breaking news, just like the local talk radio does.
Okay, so this would be like an intelligence summary at the top of the hour, something like that.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. Yep.
All right. Excellent. So I'll tell you what. Let's get the information out to folks if they want to learn more. The email address to contact Forward Observer, if you want to participate in the intelligence collection process and be tied in with the analysis and control element in Texas, the address is Rome, as in Romeo Oscar Mike Echo, Rome@readfomag.com. We'll link that in the highlights and resources posting. We'll have that on Amron.com. We'll be putting up a posting on intelligence gathering. And Sam, if you could for us, just put out your website information and the names of your Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube accounts so folks can start getting that set up as well.
Yeah, sure. I sure will. I'll email you the details with where everything's going to be and our posting schedule. And I'll send you all that stuff. So I say I'm taking tomorrow off, but first thing Tuesday morning, I'm back at it. And we're going to hit it hard. And it's been a couple days on intelligence preparation on the battlefield. Really get to understand the area or the areas in which they'll be protesting. And we'll post that as well so you can have a good example for your own local IPB. And I'll make sure and get you all the details.
Okay, sounds great. All right, thank you, sir. Well, listen, I'll let you get back to driving. Thank you so much for taking the time out to talk to the Radio Free Readout and Amron listening audience and sharing what you've got. We look forward to doing this week.
Well, hey, so do I. Thanks for the support, John Jacob. And, looking forward to more coordination in the future.
Outstanding. All right, you drive safe. We'll talk soon.
All right.
Sam Culper from Forward Observer Magazine and Forward Observer Podcast. We'll be in touch with him this week. All right, that wraps things up. You guys, you have a safe, blessed week. Amron operators, get ready to start tracking real-time intelligence and sharing that. I'll be sending an email out to Amron Core, and we'll be posting some stuff on Amron.com about how you can follow along with the live updates with the ACE at Forward Observer, and some more resources for you to follow and track. It's going to be interesting, isn't it? Lord willing, next time I talk to you, we'll have a new president. Thank God, the end of an Obama era. All right, have a blessed week. This is John Jacob Schmidt, and you've been listening to Radio Free Redoubt. Good night.